March 6, 2024. The net. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them in the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:47-50. Now, we see the commonality here with the parable of the wheat and tares. We know from last time that not everyone who is in our churches are real Christians. There are wheat and there are tares, people who genuinely love Christ and those who do not. Now, I know a few days ago I said I might skim over this because it's so similar in its message. But I changed my mind. The reason is because Jesus brought it up in a new way, and I think it's important that we see both pictures. So first off, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. So it's let down in the sea. My study Bible says that this net was shaped like a long wall and was dragged toward the shore by both ends. Its mission was to capture as many fish as possible. Now, what we are seeing here is the gospel, the net, being proclaimed in the world, the sea. It hits many people. Tons of men and women have been told the gospel. They've heard it. We have been seeing it spread across the whole world. The gospel is for every nation and every people group. It's a net filled with men and women of every kind, color, and size. Christ came to make a people for himself and for the glory of his grace. But this doesn't seem to be a net that captures to eat, but to sweep men and women out of the world and its system, sweep them out of the power of the devil, who has blinded the men and women in the world. But there's something even more to notice. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers but threw away the bad. The problem was that some of the fish were considered unclean, so they were sorted. The ones without scales and fins were no good, so they were separated from the rest. This is interesting to think about. The gospel goes out and it draws people, it gathers people. But if we connect this to the parable of the sower, we know that when it gathers men and women with different soils. It affects men and women differently due to the hardness of their hearts. So there's a mixture. And what do we see in the parable of the sower? What do these fish consist of? Well, we had, number one, the path, or the ones who have the seeds snatched by birds. They hear and reject. Number two, the rock ground, or shallow belief, ones who can't deal with rejection. Number three, the thorns, or those who love riches. They love the world. And number four, the good soil, those who find the treasure and sell all they have with joy. They love Jesus. The reality of our churches. These four groups are what are in the net. These four groups are who we rub shoulders with week in and week out. But in the parable of the net, Jesus just simplifies it for us. He says that the fish are good and bad. In relation to the sower, we see that the good are those who receive the gospel and bear fruit, and the bad are the other three. And 1 John carries the definition even farther when speaking about loving the world. It says, the things of the world are the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is the last three in a nutshell. They love the world and they love life, so much that they can't get made fun of and love what the world offers. This is what fills our churches. This is again why we have so much problems. And in today's church, we have lowered our standards so low that we don't try to distinguish at all. We consider everyone a Christian and love counting up our on-the-spot baptisms. We have made no room for a testing period like we read in the books like 1 Timothy. We don't look at a man's life with criticism because we consider it narrow-minded and unloving. And this has made this mixture even thicker because we invite all to join and are open to all being a part of our Sunday meetings, whether Christian or not. And we think, who cares? Because we must train, and soon they will become better people, people who will give and serve. But the reality is that we don't need to be looking for those who give and serve, but those who genuinely love Christ. You see, giving and serving are what happens as a byproduct of love. It's not the end of itself. We aren't waitressing. We are worshiping Christ and loving each other. That's the church. That's why we go to Sunday church. We must realize this reality and lead our congregation to recognize this reality. We are in the midst of true and false, good and bad, converted and not. The sooner we accept this, the better we'll be at a church, or as a church, the better we will be in our discernment. And then we hear, so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, we have a reality that is terrifying. Final judgment and no fakers. Hell is a real place. And what we are doing isn't a game. It's not a popularity contest. It's not us being somebody. It's eternal and serious. This should push us, I think, in 4 things. Number 1, honesty. We have to be open about our sins. We must be going to church on Sunday morning with the main focus to edify and love one another. Honestly, we must consider each other as family and not as co-workers. We must get honest and lay aside pride. The desire to use authority to lord it over the people has to go. And we see a lot of this in churches. Honesty is us coming together and laying it all down and having our main goal to love each other and Christ. This isn't a hangout or a business meeting. We are a church, a people who love Christ. Honestly, do we look like that? Number 2, repentance. We have to get serious about sin. And I'm not talking about drugs and murder, although those are important. I'm talking about partiality, arrogance, slander, lust, deception, manipulation, gossip, self-glorification, wanting to be the main man. We weren't called to this. Jesus said, if you want to be great, you must be a slave to all. We must get serious about our sin. Number 3, true affections. We must cultivate a community that actually loves each other. Like actually love the people around us. And this will only happen when we turn up our affections towards Christ. We have to see the gospel and fall in love with it. It has to be our focus all the time until it causes our whole being and life to change. We need to care. Genuine love for the body and Christ have to be a reality that overflows our congregations and lives. Jesus said that they will know you, or my disciples, by the way you love one another. This is discipleship 101. No love for your brother, no love of God dwelling in us. Read 1 John. Number 4, urgency in Scripture. We again must become creatures of the Word, soaking our minds in the Word of God and watching it affect every arena of our life. Many people don't spend enough time with the book. They have so much to do other than read the book. The urgency, though, is pressing in this area. We must be able to know the way to salvation. We must know how to be examples of love. We must see love. We must see Christ. We must be able to lead and teach those in our body. Why? Because judgment is coming. Christ is coming back. He's going to separate the good from the bad. The fish will be sorted. Let us live like it. And with this, have a happy Wednesday.